Today we're talking about Paul, and for the last few weeks we have highlighted different characters in the Bible. So there is David and Ruth and Jesus and Esther and Paul, and today we're talking about Paul and Esther. We're going to talk about Jesus. Remember, these pictures were made by Natalie Smith, the girl, the lady who was playing the piano this morning. She's an artist, and she was researching how people would look like at the time that they live. So after her research, this is how they look like, right? Some of them may be not something that you are like accustomed in seeing it. Today we focus on the word entrusted because I believe, and the theme is this, I believe that we are entrusted with the gospel, which is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. See, the Bible tells us that we are entrusted with the gospel, which is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. We all have been entrusted with something, right? We all have been entrusted with a cause or with a message. What was one of those things that you have been entrusted with that you thought was pretty cool or you were pretty humble to be entrusted with that, or maybe that made you nervous and you're even anxious a little bit about being entrusted with that? Can you remember what was like that one thing you were entrusted with that you were like, oh man, this is important. I need to really pay attention to these tasks. I mean, of course, the last few days, I have my wife on Friday. She entrusted me with our three kids, right? We have a 12, a 9, and a 7 years old. So she was leaving the house and she gave them to me and she's like, you're entrusted with them, right? So I was like, sounds good. I mean, that's great. So as soon as she left the house, I got all the kids and I said, hey, listen, all the things that your mom say no to, all the no, it is a yes, all right? For the next couple of days, it is a yes. There is no more. All the things you're yelled by for, today you're not. You're free to do all of them. You can do anything you want to do. So they all three looked at me like, you're joking, right? I was like, yeah, I'm joking, so let's just behave, right? We want to make sure that when mom comes home, nobody's in trouble. So what have you been entrusted with? What is that one thing that you're really proud of having in your possession that you ought to keep it safe and spread it? We often hear the question from Christian friends and mentors and pastors and devotion books that say something like this. Are your life circumstances advancing the gospel? Is everything that happens in your life adding up to the spread of the gospel, to spreading of the gospel? Or it comes in a way like this. Can you see the Lord's mighty hands over your life in such a way that your life circumstances, experiences, joys, sorrows, hardship, training, have resulted in the advancing of the gospel, of the causes of Christ? Quite often, I often resort to the ifs of life, right? Well, if everything was going smoothly in my life, or if only we didn't have the problems that we are facing, if only, then we would be able to live this Christian life that we are all called to live and to really see God's mighty hand in our life in such a way that life would result in advancing of the gospel. Don't we all do that? If it was different, we could. If it was better, if it was different, if it was easy, then yes, then we could see God's hand and we would be able to spread the gospel. Too often we fail to recognize God's hands in our lives, not allowing the specific situation to advance God's gospel, God's kingdom. Instead, I give in to complain and discouragement all the time. See, here's where Paul comes in our lives. Paul's life shows a different story that in spite of, and not because of our problems, Christ can be glorified with our lives. It doesn't matter what's going on, God can be glorified through that moment. Like Paul, we have been entrusted with the most important message, that the crucified Savior lives, that faith prevails, that love overcomes, that sins have no more power over us, that the past mistakes don't have to define us anymore, that we have been redeemed, rescued, restored by Jesus acting the cross of Calvary. Paul's point of view that nothing will keep him from advancing the message of Jesus by bringing in Jesus honor and glory with his personal circumstances, I think it is something that it is remarkable and something that we ought to embrace. It is an important mindset for you and I to have, Christians, Jesus followers, to hold and to hold and to have and to hold, because it demonstrates the responsibility of being entrusted with the gospel of Jesus. The question goes back for the beginning. Is what's going on in your life right now helping you, allowing you to advance the gospel? This morning, I hope they are okay with me doing this. We have in our presence right here, Tom and John. They let me tell you this. They came this morning, they shake my hand, and they are so rejoicing and happy and telling me the story that most of us would be complaining and discouraged about. About maybe 2-3 weeks ago, their house caught on fire, right? I got their daughter who works at DCA. She come crying in my office and said, like, Sam, please, can you pray for me? Can you pray for my mom and dad? Because their house is caught on fire. They lost everything. Years of marriage, years of living together. They have been married for, I'm pretty sure, more than 40 years. No? 54 years. Whoa. Give me the recipe. 15 years have been rough. I'm joking. I'm joking. That is not part of the recipe. What is the recipe? 54 years together. There you go. Hey, that's my kind of guy right there. Yes, dear. Kind of. Yeah. Yes, dear. Yes. Yeah, okay. I have so much stuff going on in my mind. Like, I want to make some more jokes, but let's keep on going, right? 54 years and work hard all these years in order to build something, and now everything gone. I remember calling him that same day and talking to him on the phone. And after that, I look at Jen Kondo, which is the church administrative staff, and I say, Jen, I just had like an experience of a lifetime. I talked to Tom, and who lost everything, and he's rejoicing, and he's praising God for the good things that happened through it all. I love what Paul says here, that on Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 and 18. Let's read it together. It's up there, okay? I want us to, I'll read it and you follow. You know how my English is, so you need to be focused on that. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, the word brothers there is the word anthropoi, which is the word for human beings, doesn't matter with gender. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every single way, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed. In that I rejoice. Man, I love that first statement that Paul says this. Here's what happens to me. He says, what happens to me? Not what I want you to know. I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. Can you really say that whatever has happened to you, whatever is happening to you right now in your life, good or bad, has happened to advance the gospel? So here's the thing, that we don't know what Paul went through, right? So let's read a little bit about whatever happened. Do you know what happened to Paul? 2 Corinthians talk to us a little bit about what has happened to him. So we think that when we read that, we think about the good stuff. Just remember, Paul, when he wrote Philippians, he was in prison. He was in jail because of Jesus. He was in jail, and he's writing that. Here is much more than what's going on in his life. Whatever happens, he says, are they servants of Christ? Are people boasting about servants of Jesus who were Judaizers? They were not really the followers of Jesus, but they're saying they were. So Paul's like, I am much better. I'm a better one. I'm talking like a madman with far greater labors for my imprisonment, with countless beating and all often near death. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea. On frequent journeys, in dangers from rivers, in dangers from robbers, in dangers from my own people, in dangers from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, in toil and hardship. Through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold, in exposure. And apart from other things, there is the daily pressure on my anxiety for all the churches. And then you wonder why the guy is ugly. Right? He gets beat up left and right. I mean, look at some of these things. The first part, Danny, for me, please. He's shipwrecked three times. I was shipwrecked. And night, I mean, I'm scared of shark. Amen? Can you imagine holding to a little board with your feet in the water and not knowing what is under over there? I mean, right? Look at all the things that he went through, Paul. You don't know this is only the first 11 years of his ministry. Paul ministered for 32 years, and it is just recording the first 11 years of his ministry. There is much more time that is not recorded there. Acts and shows us some of the other things. Let me tell you some of the other things that happened to him. Paul was arrested and beaten in Jerusalem because he was in prison there. Paul was 2 years in prison in Jerusalem. Paul was in danger when he moved from Caesarea to Rome to be tried. So he went through another shipwreck there, and a snake bited him. He had a snake bite. He was in imprisonment in Caesarea. He was in a house arrest in Rome. 3 to 4 year period he was in prison in Rome, where he perished when he was executed. I was with Danny Boudou last night watching the Paul movie, how the timing was perfect, right? The movie comes out yesterday. I'm preaching on it today, so I said, like, I need to go see it. And I don't do this often because sometimes I don't agree with all the Christian movies that is out there and whatever. But I would recommend this one for you. It's pretty cool. And I think it's pretty, it portrays a very good, faithful picture of Paul on the scripture. And so it just shows that the guy went through a rough, rough life. 11 years and all this list happens to him. Most of our lives don't have 1/3 of what happens to Paul. And we cannot turn around and say, whatever happens to me happens to advance the cause of Jesus. I love what scholar Lightfoot explains. He says this: according to the Roman custom, Paul was bound by the hand of the soldier who grounded him, and was never left alone day or night. As the soldiers would relieve guard in constant succession, the praetorians, one by one, were brought into communication with the prisoner of Jesus Christ. And thus, he was able to affirm that his bonds had borne witness to the gospel throughout the imperial regiment. Nothing stopped Paul from living for Jesus Christ. Not even prison, no nothing, no hardship in life kept him from it. And so many times for us, we don't understand and we don't embrace Paul's attitude that says that nothing will keep me from advancing the message of Jesus. See, you can't right now bring glory to God independent of what's going on in your life. I love what he says there on verse 14, Philippians 1:14, when he says, because of my chains, because of the difficulties, the things that is going on in my life that is not good, that is bad, because of those things, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fiercely. Listen, because Paul was in a difficult condition, people was not hiding away. They were empowered. They were bold. They want to talk more about the gospel. Why is that? Why? Because they saw in Paul the example of a person who was an unafraid and faithful witness, independent of his life situation. It brings courage to those watching when you're going through hardship and you're like, I am for Jesus, I am with Jesus, and nothing is going to stop me. People in the first century thought that if Paul could beat it, I can beat it also. I love this quote. Courage is not the absence of fear, but resolution and action in the face of danger. Don't you love that? Courage is not the absence of fear, but resolution and action in face of danger. See, we are the Pauls of our days. We are the Pauls of the 21st century. People are looking in our lives and they wanting to be inspired. They want to see what can be done with God. And so we have been entrusted with the gospel, and we have this great responsibility to show the world and those around us in the church that life with God, even though we go through beating and shipwrecks and pain and snake bites, life is much better with God than without God. That we will win no matter the circumstances. That the end, it is not that specific moment, but there's something ahead that is coming because God is good, God is great, and we have just this momentary pains and suffering. Everything will pass away, but the goodness of God, the faithfulness of God will never pass away. We are the Paul of our days. You can inspire people with your faith through life circumstances. Like Paul, we are entrusted with the message of Jesus. We ought to embrace Paul's viewpoint that nothing are going to keep us from advancing the message of Jesus by bringing honor to God's name with our own personal life and circumstances. To be entrusted with the gospel is to be entrusted with people's lives. Do you know that? To be entrusted with the gospel is to be entrusted with people's salvation. Because Paul himself tells, how are they going to know if they don't hear? And if you entrust with it, we have the responsibility to live like and to speak it so that people would hear and believe it and they will be saved. So we are entrusted and we have great responsibility here. Our lives cannot be stopped by the difficulties of life. But we ought to thrive through it. We are the Pauls of our day. So we are entrusted. So here's 4 points that I think we need to know about being entrusted. And all comes out from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8 to 14. I think there are several important aspects of the responsibility of being entrusted with the gospel that emerges in Paul's letters that help us Christians today grasp what it means to live out the call to embrace and participate in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And all comes from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8 and 14. I'll read it. And then we will break it down little by little. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to be holy, to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, and which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher, which is why I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me. Follow the pattern of sound words. The word there is doctrine, of sound doctrine that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus by the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. Guard the good deposit entrusted to you. Paul is looking at Timothy as into like, hey, I am in prison and I know my days are ending. Somebody got to carry on the baton. Somebody got to carry on the message. And I'm entrusting you, Timothy, with the message. Therefore, go and entrust other people with it. It's like going to retire, right? You're retiring. You need somebody to pick it up. Paul is about to retire. Because he knew his days was ending. He needed someone to carry on, and he entrusted Timothy with it. But it wasn't only Timothy. Everybody who came in contact with Paul was entrusted with the gospel. And we come in contact with Paul through the words, and we are entrusted with the same goals that he had for Timothy and the people in the first century. So what it means to be entrusted with the gospel? The first thing for me means that we will not be ashamed and that we will embrace suffering, right? Like he says on verses 8, he says, do not be ashamed, share in the suffering of the gospel. Listen, we're living in a world that is post-Christian, right? People are just not as nice to Christians as they once was, right? So there is this like this call to suffer, to stand for what we believe and to stick with it. No matter what people are saying around, we are confident that what has been passed down to us, it is the truth and is worthwhile living for. But so many times we are ashamed to stand up and to live by the values that Jesus Christ has passed on to us. To be entrusted with the gospel means to getting the accurate message. I think we need to understand exactly what the gospel is all about. And I think in verses 9 to 10 has Paul's best description of the gospel. I'm sure there's others out there but throughout Romans and Galatians, but I really like what he does here in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. This is what he does. He talks about Jesus who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus, is a free gift because of Jesus. Before the ages began, which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Lord Jesus, our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Wow, I love that. Paul put it all right here. God's call based on his purpose, God's grace in the person and the work of Christ, the participation in the gospel through faith and faith alone, our position in the body, furthering God's work on earth. In addition to that, Paul goes on and tell Timothy not to be discouraged by others around him that are teaching falsely, who are teaching the wrong message, or have abandoned the true message altogether. Paul's like, don't pay attention to those who have abandoned. Don't give in to them. Stick with what you know. Getting the message right today can seem to be a very hard thing to do, impossible thing to do. There are books after books, preachers after preachers, hipster after hipsters, blog after blog, right, that seem to argue over and over and over again about what the message is. I think Paul's question for us is clear. Stick with the scripture and you'll get it right. Stick with the word of God and you will get it right. But you cannot get it right if you don't have the Holy Spirit guiding you, right? So to be entrusted with the Holy Spirit is the second point, means to being determined to live filled with the Holy Spirit. So many times we are filled with all kinds of things but the Spirit of God. And Paul said, if you're going to stick with the Word of God, you have to stick with the Spirit, because the Spirit will guide you and teach you all things. John tells us that. 2 Timothy verses chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, Paul says this: for this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God. I love that statement. To fan into flame the gift of God. I can see someone, the Boy Scouts out there, getting sticks, starting the fire. And then what do you do next? You fan it. Isn't that what you do? Man, we have this Holy Spirit that is on fire in our heart. And we can either quench it or we can fan it. And Paul is saying, listen, if you're going to be entrusted with the Spirit of God, if you're not going to be ashamed, if you're going to stick and suffer for it, you have to fan the Spirit so that your whole body will be on fire for Jesus. He says, for God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Wow. Have you ever thought that? That you have a spirit inside of you, the Spirit of God inside of you, who is not of fear? What is the opposite of fear? Huh? Help me out. My English fails me sometimes. Courage? So we have a spirit of courage, bravery. What else? Peace? Yes. Right? Who is a spirit of bravery, of courage, and of power. Man, really, do we really have a spirit of power in us? Because so many times we act like we have a wimp spirit within us. Isn't that how it is? Oh, power. Well, the word power is the word dynamis, is the word for that came dynamite came from. The word dynamite came from. Look, have you ever seen a dynamite explode? Pretty powerful stuff. That's the idea that Paul was having, the writers of the New Testament was having when it comes to the Holy Spirit. It is of power, love, and self-control. Most of the problems in our lives would go away if we live by the Spirit and allow self-control to take over our lives. To be entrusted with the gospel means suffering for the sake of and preservation of the gospel. Paul's call for suffering is ingrained in the example of Christ himself. To be called of God into salvation also means taking on God's purpose in spreading the gospel message to the whole world. Listen, caring for a world that does not want the gospel means suffering. Can I say that again? Caring, praying, living in a world who can care less about the gospel, it is to be in suffering. Suffering because we have to confront those who get the message wrong. Suffering because we walk by faith and not by sight. Suffering because we must give up on the desire of on our own personal desire for those of God. Suffering because of our message may very well cost our family, our job, or even our lives. The world hates the message of the gospel, but we must strive not to let go of the message despite of the pain, despite of the suffering, despite of any hardship that we might face. You just suffer for that which you think it is worth suffering for. I have this quote here, says here, to suffer for the gospel message entrusted to us, we have to be convinced of its worth. How worth is the gospel to you? How worth is Jesus' death on the cross of Calvary for you? Yesterday, we went to the Paul movie, and Junior Caleb and Anna was with us. I might not recommend you take your kids to it. Sometimes could be scary scary. But we were sitting there, and after it, I asked the boys, like, hey, what was so cool about the movie? It's like, that was a scary little movie. It's like, why, Dad? Because They were like, I said, like, why was it scary? They were like, well, because Christians was being burned at stake. See, they showed Christians being crucified and put in fire. Worth every single thing. Worth everything, my own life, your own life, their life. Christians on first century thought that the gospel was so important that they died for it. Is that the same attitude that you and I have today? That the message of Jesus, the message of salvation, that God's call to us, His purpose, that His grace, His work in the cross, is that worth our lives? Is it worth it? See, will you just suffer for that which is worth it? I can't answer that for you. I can answer that for me. How worth is the gospel to you? The last thing about being entrusted with the gospel means teaching others to understand, embrace, and spread the gospel. On 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 2, Paul tells Timothy this, "You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and what you have heard from me in the presence of my witness, and trust to faithful men and women who will be able to teach others also, share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus." See, in 2 Timothy chapter 2:2, Paul charges Timothy to entrust with faithful men and women the things he has received. Likewise, the individuals Timothy entrusted to the message ought to do the same from generation to generation. This message is very important for us because that's when we moved from apostolic age to the regular pattern of passing the gospel from person to person to generation, and that's how we get it today. We should strive to follow Paul's lead in every aspect of his life. We should always be teaching the gospel to others, building those you disciple with, to entrust them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is our responsibility to help people understand, embrace, and spread the gospel. Let me conclude saying this. Like Paul, Timothy, and those in the first century, we have been entrusted with the most important message that the world could ever had. That Jesus Christ, our Savior, He lives, that faith prevails, that love overcomes, that sins have no more power over us, that the past mistake that we have done, they do not have to define us anymore, that we have been redeemed, rescued, restored by Jesus' love demonstrated to us in the cross of Calvary. Paul's point of view that nothing is going to keep him from advancing the message of Jesus by bringing honor to God's name with his own life and circumstances is remarkable. It is important, mindset, for you and I to have Jesus followers to take control of, because we are entrusted with the gospel, which is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. Maybe this morning you have not been touched by this gospel. Maybe you have never given your life to Jesus. Let me tell you, it is better to live with Christ than to live without Him. I know that for my own personal life. It is powerful when you give your life to Jesus. Like, you know, more. I said it is right. When you allow the Spirit of God to live in us and to move through our lives and to live in self-control based on what Christ has put before us, life is different. Life is better. Because I know that the God who died on the cross of Calvary died because of love, because He loved you. And He wants to have a relationship with you. Maybe this morning you want to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I'd love to pray with you. I'll be down here. You can come and we'll pray together. Maybe you want to be baptized. I'd love to make that happen. We would baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Maybe you want to just join a church, a Delaware Christian church, to be part of us and see and experience all that God is doing with us. This is the time to do it. Come forward. I'll be up down here, and I'd love to welcome you into the family, Delaware Christian Church. Let me pray, and then we'll continue to our worship. Father God, we put ourselves before you, Jesus. There's no one like you. Thank you for saving us, and thank you for entrusting us with the gospel. Help us, Father, through the Holy Spirit, to live holy lives, to live lives in a way that that inspired those around us, to help them understand, embrace, and spread the gospel. We love you, Jesus. It's in your holy name we pray. Amen.